Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
The Chase Thomas Podcast. My nephew needs me to record. See, I already hate it.
All right, hello, and welcome back to a Monday evening edition of the Chase Thomas Podcast. I am the aforementioned Chase Thomas, and I am joined, as I am during the NFL season, by Mr. Evan Swords himself. Evan, good evening, sir. Where are you?
I am in Dallas, Texas. Was I in Dallas last week?
You were in Dallas last week, so you've remained in one spot.
And I think I'll be here for the rest of this month, and then I'm going home.
Breaking news in the podcast.
I will be going back to LA and living in Santa Monica.
Okay, I like it. That's where Psych was supposed to take place, the hit show from USA in the late 2000s. Psych.
Yeah, I never personally watched it, but I think I'm going to be surrounded by an area in which a lot of things were filmed.
Well, I think it was actually filmed in Vancouver, but they did the credit opening from the Santa Monica Pier to make it seem like it was Santa Monica. But it was a Vancouver television show. One of my favorite shows. I've seen every episode. Love me some Psych. What is your favorite sitcom that you found yourself watching? What is it that you've definitely seen all of multiple times?
What shows have I seen
sitcoms. That I like? You can jump in at any episode, like at Comedy Central at 11:30, you can just hop into an episode. You don't need any context about a previous episode.
Yeah, so I mean, I'm not big on rewatching things as a whole, but I think if I were to answer that, I would say How I Met Your Mother is a big one for me.
Love that.
You know, I was never into really comedies. Like I'm like the worst for this. Like I never watched The Office. I never watched Parks and Rec.
Yikes!
But I liked little weird shows. I don't like dumb person humor.
Let me
clarify that, because I don't think it means what you think it means. I don't like watching shows where the characters are dumb and everyone's laughing at their expense. You know. I've just never – it's never been my thing. Like, I liked Seinfeld's humor, although I never really watched it. And I enjoyed Friends. You know, I love How I Met Your Mother. But, like, I hated The Office and I hated Parks and Rec, because it's like I'm just watching these people that are, you know, written to be dumb as shit, and you're just laughing at how dumb they are. And it just never, like, was something that I got into. But I loved shows like – did you ever see Lie to Me?
No.
Or The Mentalist?
No.
Yeah. So Californication, have you ever seen that?
I watched that, yes.
Californication is probably one of my favorite shows of all time.
Oh, also you would love 6 Feet Under.
Also filmed in Santa Monica, Venice Beach.
Interesting. Do you want to know a quick story about why I cannot watch the show Friends and never have?
Yeah.
Well, it was out of my time frame anyway. You know what was weird growing up? My parents let me watch Seinfeld, but not Friends. Is that not extremely bizarre that Seinfeld was okay, but my parents were like, no to Friends? No,
well, Seinfeld was like a worldwide phenomenon.
Well, I just thought it was interesting that that was like a, that was not something we were not allowed to watch in the house, but Seinfeld was. I just never really understood that line of thinking. But shout out to my mother and my father if they're listening. Friends, I was dating a girl. This was a long time ago. This was like right out of college. And I had not been dating her very long. But she put on the Friends Thanksgiving episode and asked me if I'd ever seen Friends. And I was like, no. And she's like, oh, it's my favorite show. And this is going to date me a little bit. But she definitely had it on DVD and like put it on from her DVD player. And I remember like it maybe had been going on for like 5 minutes. And she leaned over to look at me and just deadpanned, was like, I'm a really bad person and I'm going to cheat on you. And I was like,
what?
And I was like, oh, okay. And did not leave too much later from that. That was that's what all I think about when I hear the show Friends, and I'll never watch it. Like it, I'll never forget that moment. Deadpan, dead serious.
Yeah. That is intense.
It was intense and terrifying, and she was dead serious. It was wild. So did not end up with that one, Evan Swords.
Yeah, no, yeah. I enjoyed Chandler on Friends a lot. I always thought his character was very funny.
I believe you. I believe you. White Claw, not sponsoring the podcast. This segment, I should say. Not yet, at least. But it's time for our not sponsored by White Claw weekend wrap-up. What did you watch this weekend? How did your weekend go, sir?
Well, so, you know, obviously there was no football this weekend. Mm-hmm. So I enjoyed the break. My weekend was really just enjoying Dallas, you know, in as safe as humanly possible, kind of going out and got lunch, you know, I'm staying with a buddy. And then one of my oldest buddies who I went to college with is also here too. So we're kind of like, you know, all got a blood pact to never like, you know, don't like, you know, be safe so we can all hang out together.
Did you say you got a blood pact?
Yeah, you know, it's just joking.
Oh, I mean, see, here's the thing, Evan. With you, you getting a blood pact would actually not surprise me at all. I don't know what that says about you, but it would not blow my mind if you were someone who's gotten a blood pact before.
I don't like cuts. I don't like needles.
Interesting. So what do you do at the gym when you cut yourself?
I don't cut myself. I'm a fucking beast.
Oh, yikes. Wow. I like it. I like the confidence. You have been back at a gym though, right? You're back in normal gym time.
Yeah, I am fully back and it feels fucking amazing.
How much of a drop off was it?
I would say probably like 30%.
It's not bad.
Yeah, it feels good to be back. I can't stress it enough how much my mental health is just in a better place. Anxiety, all that just calms the nerves being able to work out every day.
Well, I'm happy for you, man.
Thanks, man. I see you're still running Nashville, doing Run Nashville.
Run Nashville? It's Knoxville, sir. Get your Tennessee cities right. I am not in Nashville.
Okay, you can't.
How dare you?
First off, I've never been to the Midwest. You cannot have.
This is not the Midwest.
Or whatever it is, the South.
Yes.
You can't have it start with an N, end with a Ville, and just assume for me to get it right.
Well, the other one doesn't start with an N.
I mean, you know, it's
a silent
enunciation.
K.
The enunciation.
Mm-hmm. Knoxville, Nashville. Two very different places. Only one has the greatest university on this planet, the University of Tennessee, Knoxville. Go Vols.
Hell yeah.
Yes.
What about you? What did you watch this weekend?
Well, I watched a lot of so I love the show Catastrophe. And I had not watched that since going through it a long time ago. So I watched that with the lady. That was good. We didn't do any movies this weekend. Really odd, because we did Midsummer and A Promising Young Woman last week, and then we were recorded. Oh, never mind. That's a lie. That's a lie. On Friday, we watched The Little Things. And that movie, let me just go ahead and tell you, the new Denzel, Jared Leto movie, it is, let me check my notes here, dog shit, and not worth your time.
I was going to ask. What was so bad about it?
It's quirky. It says the name of the movie four times in the movie. Rami Malek is really bad. He has a really bad accent. He was not good. And I like him a lot. And he's great.
I feel like Rami Malek is like a guy that you have to like.
Yeah, I don't.
Like, you have to like the stuff he's in. If it makes you feel any better, I also watched a terrible movie this weekend.
Ooh.
The new Anthony Mackie Netflix vehicle. Have you seen the previews for it?
No.
It's called like Outside the Wire or something like that.
Okay. And refresh my memory. Who is Anthony Mackie? Is he the guy from Marvel?
Falcon from.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And as far as I can explain it, it is Terminator Skynet Training Day.
Hmm.
It's Skynet Training Day. He is a
on Rotten Tomatoes.
He is a human that has an android body, but he's not a human, but he looks like a human, but he's got an android body. And it's Training Day, in that he's the guy that's supposed to be the good guy, but he's actually a bad cop. And he's Skynet. He's trying to get nukes to blow up the world. I ruined the movie for you and all your listeners, but trust me, I saved you the time from doing that. It was a terrible movie.
Yikes. Well, there you go. Movie time with Mr. Swords and myself. Speaking of, if you do like movies and you like listening to smart people like my friend Philip Musset, Harvard graduate who lived in the neighborhood I grew up in Stone Mountain, Georgia, we do a podcast every Saturday morning now that's got its own feed. We were doing that before the stuff started moving over this fall. Every week, but we had to take a break, obviously, with the merger and all that kind of stuff, but split it off to its own feed, so go check that out, Musset and Thomas, and leave us a 5-star rating and review. Speaking of Mr. Swords, one of your favorite things to do is to remind people that they can go check out ChaseThomasPodcast.com for access to all my articles, like the article I wrote today about Edge winning the Royal Rumble last night. That's the other reason we didn't watch a lot of movies last night, is I made the lady friend watch pro wrestling for the first time, and it was great. Go leave us a 5-star rating and a review on Apple Podcasts if you are an iPhone user. It's quick, easy, and all that good stuff, but we are available everywhere. Spotify, Player FM, and all that good stuff. It's time for headlines. We have to start here, Evan, with Matt Stafford, the guy that you, for whatever reason, were just talking yourself into the Niners, and that Kyle Shanahan was going to be into a gunslinger, was going to be into somebody who he could not just talk X's and O's with and be like, wow, do you see that 5-yard out? How perfect was that? Did you see that 23 of 28 game with no picks and no touchdowns? That's the kind of stuff that Kyle likes. And that is not what Matt Stafford is about. Matt Stafford's a gunslinger. That's who he is. And he was traded to the Los Angeles Rams for Jared Goff, multiple first-round picks. Huge haul. But, what do you make of the Matt Stafford trade to Los Angeles? And do you suspect that the Rams are now the favorite in the NFC going forward?
So I have so many thoughts on this, and I think we should probably spend the majority of this podcast talking about this, as there is not a whole lot going on. But let me just take you guys down a little trip.
I did think that there was a Super Bowl going on this weekend, but continue.
Well, I'm saying that's obviously what we finish on. Mm. So there are some guys in 49ers Twitter sphere, nice kids, one of which I gave him his first writing gig at 49ers Hub. He has since done amazing, awesome things, and he's really kicking ass. And his partner is equally awesome, and they do they just work their ass off, and they really, you know, provide good content. And they basically created a new 49ers Hub. It's called 49ers Goldmine. Check it out if you can. If you're a 49ers fan, you probably already know about it, so it's kind of redundant to say that. But essentially, one of these guys has, you know, at least in some form or fashion, spent a lot of time trying to get news and sources, or, you know, just trying to like get it, you know, in between the fence of trying to like, you know stuff, I guess. I don't know how else to explain it. So early rumblings, you know, is 49ers are talking to Matt Stafford. And, you know, that was kind of out there. He early was like, the 49ers and Matt Stafford is a done deal. They've already shaken hands. It's just a matter of time. I mean, he full on sent it. He said, it is done. It's a done deal. They've already they got a handshake deal. They're working out the details. So 49ers Twitter goes nuts, right? They're like, oh, man. Matt Stafford, he's probably he's better than Jimmy. I don't think he's that much better than Jimmy, but he's definitely got, you know, he could make a bunch of throws that Jimmy can't. We all know that. So, you know, the 49ers Twitter and as a whole is just in a frenzy talking about this news, arguing about whether or not it's a good deal. What did they pay for it? Would you pay a first? No, we can't pay a first. I'd pay a first. All this stuff. And it goes on for, I mean, like a week and a half. And think about it. When you hear that your team is about to trade for, you know, that kind of quarterback, a week and a half is like an eternity, right? So, you know, a lot happened. A lot of people talked. A lot of things were said. And it was just so much speculation. And then slowly, the real beat writers kind of like started sprinkling out, I don't think that's true, or 49ers don't have any deal with Matt Stafford at the moment. Mike Garofalo comes on TV and goes, I think Jimmy Garoppolo is going to stay. The 49ers haven't made an offer to Matt Stafford. And then boom, he gets traded to the Rams.
Yeah. And I don't hate it. Like, I understand the Niners' perspective, and we can get to that in the next segment, our team, our time. But I do think this is something that the Rams had to do. This is not something the Niners had to do. Does that make sense?
I mean, I wouldn't say that. I really wouldn't say that. When I think about it, look at what the Rams have and look at what the Niners have, right? Jared Goff, I think his cap hit is probably a little bit more at this point than Jimmy.
And he's not the quarterback Jimmy is when he's healthy. I still think Jimmy is a much better quarterback.
I agree, but I think Sean McVay has definitely gotten I don't think there's anybody in the NFL that could get more out of Jared Goff than Sean McVay did. I truly believe that. So you look at the 40.
I guess that's probably true. Yeah.
Are there better coaches? Is Andy Reid maybe a better offensive coach? Sean Payton? Sure, whatever. I still don't think that anybody can get out of. You remember when Jared Goff threw for 4,000 yards, was almost breaking records, you know, just deep bombs to Robert Woods. I just don't think that anybody's going to get that version. The Lions are not going to get that version of Jared Goff. I'm not saying Jared Goff was that version of Jared Goff before he left, but neither here nor there. The Rams gave up all that they gave up because here's where I'll agree with you. They had to, in a sense of they only have a short window. They've got Jalen Ramsey's contract, right? They've got to go now. Would you agree with that?
Yes. And Andrew Whitworth always being on borrowed time. Cup, and this group is going to continue to get more expensive. Aaron Donald, like, they are built to win now year over year. Like, this is the time.
Yeah. So that was the main thing. I understand where they're coming from in terms of you got to do it right now, but I still just...
Well, I mean, think about it. Like, think about what they were this past year and where they could have been if they had a competent quarterback. They won on the road against Seattle. They probably could have really hung with Green Bay with Stafford in that spot because that team really kept in it. They were just limited by what Goff was doing at QB. And I don't know. I think they are now... I don't think they're the favorites in the NFC. I think people get way too excited about that, and I don't think Stafford is at that point in his career where he should ever be just anointed the favorite in a conference over the Brady's and previously the Breezes and the Aaron Rodgers and the Russell Wilsons. Like, well, we'll have to see. We shall see. But do I think it makes them better next year? Do I think that they give any shits about these picks? No, because they've lost like seven. They'll end up losing seven straight first round picks. This is not what they care about. And if you're going to do this, go do this. It just seems like to fit their ethos. And this is not what fits the Niners ethos. The Niners, I think they're more forward thinking. And I don't take that as a shot at the Rams. I think the Rams are just like a, let's go for it, we're in Los Angeles kind of thing. And San Francisco is looking at it like, no, Kyle can get the best out of Garoppolo, whoever. He's building out this offensive line. He's built, we used a bunch of capital on the defense. We've used a bunch of capital on the receiving game. Like, we'll see what happens. Like, when we find somebody we actually really, really love, that Kyle really, really loves and is willing to part with several significant assets like the Rams had to give up, then we'll do it. Like, you do something like that for Deshaun Watson. You don't do that for Matt Stafford, in my opinion. I just don't think he is at that level, and I am okay, and I think Niners fans should be okay that they did not ultimately give up a lot for him, because I just don't think it would move the needle as much as you and maybe Niners fans might think that Stafford in place of a healthy Jimmy would be for the Niners.
So once again, I don't think there's as many, especially in 49ers land, as many pro Jimmy people as much as I am. You have to remember that Jimmy Garoppolo still has yet to play a single football game with Debo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk, and George Kittle all on the field at the same time. So I agree. Also, I think when the 49ers were rumored to be doing this, a lot of people were saying it was going to be for like maybe next year's first round pick, or maybe just this year's second. So I think in those circumstances, 49ers were never going to do that. If you know John Lynch, if you know Kyle Shanahan, they never overpay. They didn't last year when they were talking to Tom Brady. They didn't this year when it comes to Matt Stafford. That's just not their MO. They're never going to be the team to overpay.
No, but they're waiting to see what, because I mean, look, Kirk going through another offensive coordinator this year in Minnesota. Like, Kyle's waiting.
Oh, don't fucking do it. I heard someone, it was some guy with like 6,000 followers did it again. So he said,
he's only 32.
He's just not, he doesn't have it, man. He doesn't have that clutch gene. As much as I don't want to retort whatever Skip Bayless is saying, he really doesn't. Kirk Cousins is the embodiment of regular season. You talked about how Alex Smith is the regular season god. Kirk Cousins is the regular season god.
He's also just the exact type of quarterback that Kyle Shanahan loves.
Which makes no sense.
I'm not disagreeing with it. I'm just saying, like, if I had to bet, if they're going to trade some stuff, he also would cost significantly less than Matt Stafford. You have to consider that. Did you see the report that the Rams made a run at Aaron Rodgers before ultimately trading for Matt Stafford?
No.
I don't know. How much validity do you take from that? Do you really think that they made a serious offer to him? And do you think the Packers are at a point where they're actually listening to offers?
So here's the same thing I said. I'll say it again. If you are any team that needs a quarterback right now, you're calling the Packers. The Packers can say all day long that they are not trading Aaron Rodgers. And you know what? Oh, maybe.
Well, you're saying you called the Packers before the Texans.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Interesting. See, I would not. I think hold on, Watson at his timeline versus Rodgers, I would be way more adamant about getting him.
I think Rodgers is cheaper, though.
But a smaller Watson, you're giving up a bunch of assets for Aaron Rodgers at this stage of his career. I think that's kind of silly.
Okay, let me put it this way. I would trade a first round pick for Aaron Rodgers. I wouldn't trade multiple, maybe two, but even
it would cost multiple. It's going to cost multiple first round picks to get Aaron Rodgers.
But I think Watson is guaranteed three first round picks, period.
Nothing is guaranteed with Houston. I'm not going to guarantee Cal McNair and Nick Caserio and Jack Easterby are going
to make
it.
They're not giving up for anything less than three first round picks. And the teams that do need him, like the Jets and the 49ers, are not going to pay that.
I don't think he's getting moved.
Well, he's not. A lot of national reporters have said straight up, it won't happen.
But I also think it's part of like a flex from owners, where it's like, I think the NFL, I don't know if this is something they think about and how much they owners talk across different leagues, but like when I was thinking about Deshaun Watson trades and stuff like that, where there is just one of the things that makes the NFL king, one of the things that just makes them the creme de la creme of sports in the world. They are the biggest sports league. They are the most popular. They will always be the most popular. Part of it is something that happens with college, and something that's really hurt college in recent years is the transfer portal. It's good for the players, but it's bad for the game. And one of the things that people loved was that they got to grow attached to guys playing there for 3 to 4 years. They were there, and you got to see your guys recruited, and they sat. Some of them played early. You got to see them flourish, and then they moved on. Now you're seeing more and more move around. It's harder to keep up with. It's harder to grow attached to guys, because if they don't work out in year one, then they might leave. And it was like 1,500 in the portal this year alone. That's bad for the sport. It's good for the players, bad for the sport. Both can be true. You're seeing this in the NFL, where it is going to be a bad thing for this league if quarterbacks start moving around in their prime. This is a bad, bad thing, because part of the mystique with the NFL is Brady playing for the Pats forever, Aaron Rodgers playing for the Packers forever, Ben Roethlisberger playing for the Steelers forever, Joe Montana being on the Niners forever. There is something like Patrick Mahomes getting unhappy and requesting a trade is horrible. And you don't ever want to get to that point, because quarterbacks matter so much. It's the most important position in sports. And you want, as an NFL, like, oh, if you're Roger Goodell or any of these owners, you're like, oh no, if Watson flexes enough here and forces his way out in his prime as a top five quarterback in this league, other quarterbacks who are in that wheelhouse, even bad ones, or even young ones who are in the 20 to 25 range who don't believe they're being developed the right way, they're going to start being like, oh, if he can ask out and get traded, so can I. And I don't think the NFL wants anything to do with that. And it's something that I understand. Deshaun Watson has every right, and I totally encourage it. Cal McNair seems like a really shitty owner, and everything about that situation is dysfunctional and awful. I understand all of it. It is a bad look for the NFL if this becomes a thing, in that more star quarterbacks in their prime ask out and get moved around, because there is so much to the idea that you get to, when you draft a franchise quarterback as an NFL fan, when you're at home, you're like, yes, we've got this guy for his prime. Russell Wilson is not going anywhere. Matt Ryan is going to end up being the best quarterback in Falcons history, and he played all of his best years in Atlanta, and I got to watch every single one of them. That is something that makes the NFL special. That is something that is killing college basketball, that no one has any fucking idea who's on who and who's going to be around for a year, and it's impossible to get attached to anybody. That is a bad thing for fans, and I am just very curious to see how this all works. But he could also be an outlier, that most of the other quarterbacks look at it as like, yeah, they're an outlier, Houston's terrible, whatever. But Deshaun does it, and guess what? Trevor Lawrence gets drafted to Jacksonville next year, and Jacksonville is a dumpster fire with Urban Meyer. Does Trevor Lawrence just go, after year two, yeah, this sucks, I don't like any of this, I'm out, Brian Schottenheimer is my passing game coordinator, hard out, like, I want out of this? That is when things go, oh no, the NFL is in real, real trouble. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, I'm all for quarterbacks. I love that we're getting closer to the, I want quarterbacks like Deshaun Watson to be like, fuck you, I'm leaving. And you're going to trade me because I'm never coming back and I'll never play for this team. And if you don't trade me, you'll get nothing. I love that. Does that need to happen every time? No. But teams like the Texans, the Jets, that are just completely hapless. Now, shout out to Robert Saleh. Hopefully he fixes it, the Jets. I love the idea that they can do that. Deshaun Watson does not deserve to play in Houston. Houston should have never let Bill O'Brien get away with half of the stuff he did. They let him be GM. They let him trade just, you know, Hopkins. Like, should have never happened.
The Hopkins trade wasn't all that bad in retrospect. It made Deshaun Watson a better quarterback. Deshaun Watson was better this year because he did not have DeAndre Hopkins to target over and over again.
That is the dumbest shit you've ever said to me on this podcast.
I
that is the dumbest.
I'm a Deshaun Watson guy.
I want you to take this audio and put it at the front. And I want you to put this on the pedestal of your podcast and let everyone know that you think that Hopkins trade wasn't that bad.
I really don't.
Watson better.
I think Watson had to do more with less. And I think for quarterbacks like that, it is nice to have to do more with less sometimes. I think
this isn't a small suburban family trying to make it through the month off of putting a little bit of water in the milk so it lasts longer. What the fuck are we doing here? Deshaun shouldn't have to. He's one of the most exciting quarterbacks in the NFL. He shouldn't have to do more with less.
No, but I think
what are we doing?
Good. I think it's good for him. I'm glad he
had to do
more.
It's not good for him. You know what's good for him? Being on a team that can actually compete, where the owner and the GM and the coach are putting you in a position to succeed. Why does he have to do a fucking obstacle course every year just to be a quarterback?
I'm not disagreeing with that, but the way they built their offensive line was bad. But I think the defense was a lot better than people thought it was going to be this past year. The David Johnson part of it was just dumb, and the running back aspect. But like the idea of trading DeAndre Hopkins for a huge haul and getting a collection of guys around him based on who they also had on this roster, and signing Brandon Cooks if he was healthy and all that kind of thing, I don't hate it. It was not something I hated, that one move in by itself. The Patriots were the one team not on Matt Stafford's list. What do you make of Matt Stafford being like, yeah, I'm good?
I mean, it's not a Patriots thing. I'm sure Matt Stafford wouldn't have an issue playing for Bill Belichick necessarily. It just sounds like he absolutely hated playing with Matt Patricia. And now that Matt Patricia is back with that staff, he's like, I won't be anywhere near that. You know, Matt Stafford maybe hasn't exactly had the best career by any means, but I mean, the Lions have been a hapless organization for forever. But Matt Stafford's a good quarterback, and he's a veteran quarterback.
Where do you have him in your top 32? Where do you have him right now? It is February 2nd. Where do you have him
hard,
in the pecking order?
It's hard to say that without like having the list up. But I mean, he's a guaranteed top 15. I would maybe even almost get him in top 10. It really depends.
Are we sure he's a guaranteed top 10?
No, I'm not sure.
Can I give you here's how we'll do this, and I'm gonna count this, and we'll figure out where we're at. You ready?
Yeah.
This is gonna be a fun game, fun exercise for you, Evan.
So Patrick Mahomes,
Tom Brady.
Okay, sure. Patrick Mahomes.
No, are you saying Tom Brady is better or worse than Matt Stafford at this point?
No, well, no. Oh, you want me to do that? I thought you were just going to go list
no,
all 1
through
10.
No, I was
going to
go. No.
Okay. I think he's got more ability at this point, but Brady's the better quarterback.
All right, that's one. Patrick Mahomes.
Two.
Dak Prescott.
Oh, man. That's tough. I don't think Dak is nearly as good as some people think.
I think he's better than Matt Stafford at this point.
I think Matt Stafford is better, and I think if Matt Stafford was in a better situation, it wouldn't even be a question.
All right, so we're
Matt Stafford can make every throw.
Russell Wilson.
Oh, Wilson's better.
That's three. Aaron Rodgers.
Rodgers is better.
That's four. Ben Roethlisberger.
Matt Stafford.
Okay. Derek Carr.
Matt Stafford.
Josh Allen.
Josh Allen.
That's five. Kirk Cousins.
Ooh, Matt Stafford.
Baker Mayfield.
Matt Stafford.
Drew Locke.
Matt Stafford.
Drew Brees counted this year. We have to say Drew Brees this year.
I'm taking Matt Stafford.
Okay. Deshaun Watson.
Deshaun Watson.
Six. Lamar Jackson.
That's hard. I've been thinking about Lamar literally this entire time while you were naming QBs off. It's really hard. I think right now, Matt Stafford is the better quarterback, but Lamar does things that are just so out of this world that just open up so many different opportunities. But I mean, just for the sake of quarterback, I'm taking Matt Stafford. But it's not.
Interesting.
Very close, though. Like I said, I am a huge Lamar guy, and I think I think he needs a better offensive coordinator to really show what he's capable of doing. Lamar can make all the throws too, but he just, I mean, we didn't see it this year nearly as much as I would have liked to. I'm taking Matt Stafford.
Ryan Tannehill.
I'm taking Matt Stafford. Tannehill's in the perfect situation. I think if you put Matt Stafford in that team, they do even better.
Kyler Murray.
That's another one. Kyler's exciting, but I'm still taking Matt Stafford right now. I don't think Kyler is nearly as good as the hype is putting him at right now. I think he's got a very promising career ahead of him, and I think he is very talented. And I think if you're taking, you know, a franchise quarterback over the next 10 years, obviously, you know what I'm saying? Like, but right now I'm taking Matt Stafford as the better quarterback.
So we're still at 7. Matt Ryan.
That's a tough one.
No, it's not. It's Matt Ryan.
Hold on. Let me just say what I have to say.
Oh, God.
From
I'm
a number.
Ask you Justin Herbert. I might have it.
No, hold on. So seriously, though. Right now, I'd say Matt Ryan. But you have to understand, when Matt Stafford had Calvin Johnson, he was putting up incredible numbers the same way Matt Ryan was with Julio Jones. And Matt Ryan had Kyle Shanahan. Matt Stafford has never had anything close to that, let alone a running back, let alone, you know, a capable tight end. Like, Matt Ryan is, I think, the better quarterback. But, like, if you put Matt Stafford in Matt Ryan's situation, he might do better and he might do more. He might have won that Super Bowl, too.
The wait is finally over. Knotfest Roadshow is back. October 13th, Jiffy Lube Live. Featuring Slipknot with Killswitch Engage, Fever 333, and Code Orange. Tickets on sale now at LiveNation.com. Part of the Mattress Warehouse Concert Series.
That's not a tough one, man. I'm gonna take Matt Ryan, but I'm not happy about it.
Okay. Well, I like it. Take your medicine. Last one. Jarrett Stidham.
Oh God, what? No, hold on. What? You didn't say Jimmy Garoppolo.
Jimmy Garoppolo, I know. I forgot about Jimmy. Yeah, I would take Jimmy. So that's, yeah.
I wouldn't take Jimmy over Matt Stafford. Matt Stafford's a better quarterback than Jimmy. And I love Jimmy.
I would take Kyler over him. I would take Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert's close. We'll have to see. Tannehill made me think.
Justin Herbert, right now I'm taking over Matt Stafford. 100%.
Okay. Well, you know, Tannehill was complicated for me because, like, it's just you have to really – we'll see a lot with Arthur Smith gone and them promoting the T coach.
I got to just say this. With Tannehill as a whole – we've seen what he did under the worst circumstances, and we've seen what he's doing right now under really good circumstances. As things shift and move, as they so often do, I want to see how he reacts. Like you said, what does he do without his OC? We'll see. Corey Davis probably gone too.
He's hit or miss. That dude will have some zero targets, no catch games. AJ Brown's a much bigger thing for them. But
no, I know, but like he's the wide receiver too. It was a big deal when Mohamed Sanu came to the Falcons, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Receiver too.
Yeah, but he was actually productive. Corey Davis was like hit or miss. Sanu was Mr. Yak. He was always productive. Love me some Mohamed Sanu. Mike Pettine out in Green Bay after Green Bay is eliminated. Just Kevin King getting people fired up there in Green Bay.
You know, I've got a lot of friends that are Packers fans. I follow
some
people
happy.
That are, they're more than happy. They are ecstatic. They hated Mike Pettine.
This is like an every like 5 years thing, with Mike Pettine and then Dom Capers. Cause it felt like Packers fans were just so over the Dom Capers experience for so long. And he just kept riding it out. Mike Pettine was doing the same thing where I was just like, this dude's going to be the DC for like 10 years and Packer fans are just going to hate it forever. But no, they did not renew and he's gone. I'm very fascinated to see where they go because they have a lot of talent on defense and I do think they're going to get involved in the J.J. Watt sweepstakes.
Ooh, that's interesting. I think that's a good position. I'd love to see the 49ers trade for him. Can you imagine J.J. Watt? You put Eric Armstead in the middle, and he gets to play next to Nick Bosa for a couple of years.
What does that mean for Solomon Thomas, though?
Who's that?
Or your favorite, Dee Ford.
The worst thing... So first off, Dee Ford is never playing a snap in the NFL ever again. I'm not just saying that either. Like, it's very widely understood. He's not. And Solomon Thomas, the most frustrating thing to me is that he tore his ACL, because it's like, now I have to feel bad for him, because he's a nice guy, great guy. Now I even feel bad because he tore his ACL, but like, fuck, man. I need that guy to no longer play for the 49ers.
Well, last thing on the Niners then, before we get into some quick Falcons and Niners stuff. What is the latest on Jadeveon Kinlaw and his squirrel habits?
Javon Kinlaw.
Javon, excuse me.
I have not seen anything about it since. I think we've seen the last of it.
He's still alive, though, right? He hasn't gotten, like, rabies or poisoning or anything from eating a dead squirrel.
He got some cleanup surgery on the knee.
Okay.
So I don't know if he'll be out, you know, chasing down squirrels.
I see what you did there. I like it. The Falcons, for our time, our team, they snuck around and nabbed Kyle Smith, the son of longtime general manager of the San Diego Chargers, A.J. Smith, for a role in the organization with Terry Fontenot. Love that. Did not make big headlines, but I was very excited to see that because I think he's just been really, really good and done a really good job in Washington the last couple of years. So I'm excited for Kyle Smith. Mina Kimes really loves our coaching staff and what we've done this offseason, so that makes me happy. Shout out to Mina Kimes for understanding what's coming in Hotlanta this fall, so she gets it. Quiet week mostly on the Falcons front, but just something I wanted to note. Kyle Smith joining the Atlanta Falcons front office, and I'm excited about it. What about for your team?
Well, you know, I mean, the 49ers are in a very interesting situation right now, right? As a whole, you've got an offseason ahead where they've got to figure out what they're going to do at quarterback. 2 years in a row now, and I don't care what anybody says. 2 years in a row, they almost signed Tom Brady.
Mm.
And now there's reports that they were trying to trade potentially or even just exploring Matt Stafford. Kyle Shanahan has been very vocal about his displeasure with Jimmy and what he likes and what he doesn't like. There's been a lot of chatter a lot of times about how Jimmy's not good enough. He's obviously hearing this stuff. You got to ask yourself, if you're Jimmy Garoppolo, do you not want to get the fuck out of San Francisco? Think about it.
Yeah, no, because Kyle has been the best thing that ever happened to his career.
No. What are you talking about?
I mean, do you really want to go back to New England if you're Jimmy?
Listen
where
to me.
Where do you
when
go?
I say,
like, where's his options?
Listen to me when I tell you that Kyle's the worst thing that's ever happened to his career.
He got him to a Super Bowl. What?
When Jimmy was leaving
New
England,
I'm ready for this take. I'm excited.
He was one of the most sought after quarterbacks in the NFL. Mm-hmm. When we got him for a second round pick, the world lit on fire in fury about how we were given this prime, ready to start quarterback, prepped behind the great Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, right? He comes in, doesn't even know the playbook, goes out there, makes every throw, lighting shit up, dropping passes in between defenders. I mean, goes 5-0. The Jacksonville Jaguars, one of the best defenses in the NFL, while they are trying to make it to the playoffs, trying to get a first-round bye, we go in there and smack the shit out of them, destroy the Jaguars. Jimmy Garoppolo is the greatest thing that's ever happened. He is God King Jimmy Garoppolo, the same way that Cap was at his peak with the 49ers. It just happens. Quarterbacks get their MVP status on the 49ers, and then everything goes to shit. But so my point is, though, he tears his ACL. He goes back, rehab, comes back. The next year's first official year, Kyle doesn't let him throw the ball. He's constantly running the ball. His receivers for the majority of the Super Bowl run are Dante Pettis, who got released, Richie James, who never played a snap, Kendrick Bourne, who is an undrafted free agent, who I truly do not believe will be anywhere if he leaves the 49ers. He'll be on a practice squad. They didn't – like, he had nobody. And so people were sitting here going, well, he can't make the throws or, you know, blah, blah, blah. Like, Kyle, like, handcuffed him. And now look at Jimmy. Where is he going to go? Everyone thinks he's bad. You and me don't. But people think Jimmy, well, oh, he's not good enough.
Teams around the league think that.
I mean, there was reports that there's not a lot of interest in Jimmy.
Some of that might just be the health, and that's why I wouldn't sell low. And I think that's what the Niners are thinking too. It's just like, we got to get this dude right, let him be healthy again for the first time in almost 2 years, see what he looks like.
That's what's even more frustrating, though. He got a high ankle sprain last year. He comes back 2 weeks later. High ankle sprains take 6 weeks to heal. Who let him come back? He injures it again. He's basically spent all of this season before he got, you know, injured for the rest of the year playing on a high ankle sprain. It's just a lineman fell on his foot. Like, what is this man supposed to do? But people are like, oh, he's injury prone. What part of, can you tell me how the ankle connects to the ACL?
No, I cannot.
I don't know much about science. I never graduated college. So I just think that Jimmy's in a really poor situation right now. He went from being the guy to all the prospects in the world, everybody wants him, to now he's like damaged goods. And I think Kyle's handled it. I mean, we've talked about this before. I think Kyle handled it extremely poor. So now the 49ers are going to the offseason. They're like, hey, Jimmy, you're our guy. But by the way, we don't even fucking believe that. We're trying to get any quarterback but you. But can't wait. Richard Sherman's leaving. Our center that we signed for like $20 million from the Giants has been injured twice. Was out all last year.
You can have Alex Mack. Center,
which is probably legitimately going to happen. It's something that we've definitely considered. And the interior offensive line is torched.
Whoa, what happened to Matt McGlinchey?
Matt McGlinchey's a right tackle, yeah. And he's got the worst pass blocking grade, like, I think in the NFL.
That's not good. Well, on the other side, he's also got one of the best. Because whatever, I don't know what you sprinkled on Trent Williams this past year, but he just took a year off of football and was like, it's fine, I'm still going to be an elite left tackle. That's like an under-talked about portion of this season was Trent Williams.
Oh, he was incredible.
But he just took a year off and just came back and it's fine. Trent Williams was just fine. I don't know. I love that. Shout out to Trent Williams. Well, we shall see. It seems like, if I had to guess, the Niners are just going to continue to listen, be active, talk to different teams. It's clear they don't see Jimmy and their team 5 years from now, but I think they're just at the point right now where they're happy with him, if that's the best they can do. But if something comes available that makes sense to them, they will listen and talk with them and see what happens. Like, I think that's an okay thing to be, where I think the Niners believe they can still win with Jimmy, but they also can win bigger with somebody else. But they're going to be careful. I don't think there's anything wrong with that line of thinking.
I mean, I think it's one thing to draft a quarterback if, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it was when Aaron Rodgers, when they drafted Jordan Love, you're like, what? How dare you? But, I mean, if you're Jimmy Garoppolo and they draft a quarterback, you can't really blame him. You tear your ACL, you got two high ankle sprains. You know what I'm saying? Like, you missed the biggest throw of your life in the Super Bowl. I think that would have been a route you could have gone, right? Like, just silently been like, we're going to draft a quarterback. Fucking deal with it. Be better than him and then you'll start. That's fine. But to just constantly publicly go out and have all these reports, oh, that they're constantly trying to replace you. I just don't understand how, if you're Jimmy Garoppolo, bro, he's from Illinois. He's like, please just trade me to Chicago.
Wait, what quarterback wants to get traded to Chicago though?
Are you kidding me? You see how badly that team wants to be good?
Yeah.
In spite of Mitch Trubisky?
There's not a The track record is one of the worst in football.
Let me just tell you this, and I mean this sincerely. The world in which the Bears don't draft Mitch Trubisky and instead somehow are able to get the Patriots to trade Jimmy Garoppolo for a second round pick, that team might win a Super Bowl if that would have happened. They draft Jamal Adams instead of Mitch Trubisky or something like that. Think about that alternate universe. I want you to think about that.
I just don't think it would have worked out for the Bears at QB no matter what. There's just something about the Bears. I'm just going to continue betting against the Bears.
You don't get to take the terrible things that Mitch Trubisky did.
It's Jay Cutler. The list goes on. Jim O'Neill.
You can't magic eraser that.
Mitch Trubisky
specifically was terrible in a situation where that defense was incredible, where Allen Robbins is one of the best receivers in the NFL. If they would have had a competent quarterback in that situation, they would have competed for a Super Bowl. And it's not because of Kyle Orton. It's just because they drafted fucking Mitch Trubisky, that big, tall, white guy. Because they were like, oh, big, tall, white guys, they're always safe. They're not. They're terrible.
The Super Bowl. It's happening on Sunday, Mr. Swords.
Have you ever been less interested in a Super Bowl?
You're just so... Just don't be a Grinch just because your team isn't in it this year. You were in it a year ago. That's all
I know,
this is. That's
I
all
understand.
This is. You were in it
but
last year.
But it's like... You don't want... Like, everybody doesn't want Tom Brady to win another ring. And then you don't want Patrick Mahomes to become the next Tom Brady because we just dealt with Tom Brady for 10 fucking years.
I mean, this is one of the first Super Bowls where I'm okay with either winning, where I'm not not rooting. Like, I was rooting for your team last year.
Thank you. It's very nice of you.
I enjoy Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. I enjoy watching them. I enjoy the way – like, there's something about the dominance of the Chiefs that remind me of the Warriors a little bit that – I just am like, oh, that's cool just to have this history. Like, I kind of like that they're just so good and so dominant on that side of the ball that, like, it's just forcing teams around the league in a similar way to the Warriors to adapt and be like, okay, how do we make this not be the next Tom Brady and Pat situation? How do we stop this? Is interesting to me. On the flip side, Brady getting another one is just insane. And there's part of me that's just like, he's already beat Montana and Bradshaw, who were tied at 4. He has 6. This would give him 7. Like, it's just, it's insane. Like, there's just something about it would just be just okay. And then the Gronk Brady celebrations would be great. I think that'd be a lot of fun. I don't know. I really don't care who wins. I think either will be huge for the other person's career, but I want it to come down to the wire. That's all I really want. I want this to be a very close ending, kind of like what happened last year. I know you don't want to reminisce on last year. Are you really not enthused to see Brady versus Mahomes?
I'm not. I'm not at all. I really am not. So let me just say this. Mahomes is one of those transcendent talents where it's just like, I'm happy for him. But it's like, there's so many things I hate about his existence. I hate his wife. I hate her. I don't hate his little brother, but he's so annoying. I don't hate him. I hate his wife, though. Have you seen her? Every time they win, he's the greatest quarterback in like the last 50 years. And she's like, fuck you guys. You guys didn't believe me. That's what we told you. I was like, no one's betting against Patrick Mahomes, lady. He's the best. What are you doing? I hate her. The little kid's fucking little brother's like TikTok dancing all over the place. He's like Juju without any athletic ability. I don't know. Like, I just don't care to root for, you know what I'm saying? Like, and then the Patriots, I love the idea. I do love the idea of Coach getting a ring. I really do like that. Bruce Arians getting a ring. That makes me happy.
I also just love the Patriots losing this marriage. I really do.
I do too. I like the idea of Boston fans as a whole being sad and feeling pain. I hate the city of Boston. I hate their fans.
Oh, wow.
I hate everything about them. Mm.
Love the movies.
Yeah. What, Mark Wahlberg 2, Mark Wahlberg. I'll give you that. But this is the problem. The things that you're talking about, the things we're talking about, the things that I like genuinely want to root for the Bucs for. Trevor Sikkema, huge Tampa Bay fan, wrote for, you know, was a Bucs beat writer forever. I want him to be happy. But like, it's Tom Brady, man. How many more Super Bowls is this guy going to get?
I kind of want to see him go towards 10.
We used to say that Joe Montana and him were like neck and neck. And then now he's just like Super Bowl, Super Bowl, Super Bowl, Super Bowl. I hate it. And he posts a video that's just so fucking adorable with his little runs to the, you know, after they win the championship, he runs to the sidelines. He's like, "Can I say hi to my son?" He's like, "We did it. We did it." And it's adorable. I'm like, I don't want to like you, Tom Brady. I've spent my whole life hating you. Don't do this.
It's a very complex
situation for me. I really don't know, man. It's like, in theory, logically speaking, Mahomes should win. He's crazy. He's so good. He's one of the greatest quarterbacks we've ever seen. But like,
the Bucks are hot. They've won how many straight? 7?
I don't give a fuck about anybody on the Bucks. How do you bet against Tom Brady? In this moment, how do you bet against a guy that not only has the experience, but he's also got the weapons, he's got the team, and he's got the motivation? Think about how many Super Bowls Tom Brady has been to. On a scale of 1 to 10, where do you think this Super Bowl ranks in terms of his motivation to win? Top 3, right?
Yeah.
Easy top 2, maybe? Maybe even the number 1 most important Super Bowl ever for him?
Ever for Tom Brady?
Yes.
No.
Think about it. Think about it in context. Think about it in context. Sure, the first one maybe.
No, I'm going to say the most important was him coming back 28-3. I didn't think that's going to be the most important, where it's like
That was exciting. That wasn't
actually I think 18-0 was the biggest one of his career. Like them finishing 19-0, like with that season and how dominant they were from start to finish.
I will give you that. But how can you look at anyone, especially Tom Brady, and say, after all they did, and they didn't keep him, he didn't want to stay, Bill Belichick and him weren't friends anymore, whatever you want to say, and him and Gronk go to the Bucks and they go, "We'll fucking do it without you. I'm going to show every single person that's ever said that it was Bill Belichick, that it was me. I'm going to cement myself the greatest quarterback ever." People forever have been like, "No, Jerry Rice is the greatest football player of all time." Right? Jerry Rice is the greatest football player of all time.
Who thinks that?
Everyone? Very calm. Yeah. Lots of people do.
The greatest football player of all time.
Do you understand every single record he has and how absolutely dominant those records are?
He's a receiver.
Okay. Regardless, my point is, what Tom Brady is fighting for right now is bigger than anything else I think that's ever happened in his entire career.
We've talked a lot about Brady. Do you think we're going to see – is there a chance that Patrick Mahomes is viewed any differently coming out of this game?
No, I don't think so. He also
like, if he has
injured,
a bad game and Brady really outplays him, does it matter?
He was just injured. He was just injured. He played, sure. Played great.
Because we just forget he was bad in the Super Bowl last year. We forget that he was really bad the first three quarters.
He got outplayed by Jimmy Garoppolo for three quarters.
That is just like, no one's going to remember how bad Mahomes was the first three quarters of last year's Super Bowl. Like, that is something that I think if you ask people, like, "What do you think? Who do you think won the quarterback battle in the Niners Chiefs Super Bowl game? Who do you think looked better for most of the game?" They'd be like, "Oh, Mahomes." I'm like, "Well, no, you didn't watch it." Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, little things like that, you just don't even remember. And you're like, "I remember just how bad he was, being blown away." That is what I remember most from that Super Bowl. It's just like how bad Mahomes was trying to throw that game away and didn't matter. And then he came back when it mattered, and that was huge. But, I don't know. I think there is not a chance that he's viewed differently, but I do think it will be something that needs to be talked about if he's bad in two straight Super Bowls for the most part, or like really struggles against the Bucks pass rush and everything. So I don't know. I think that will be fascinating to see. Ultimately, Evan Swords, who do you have winning? What is your score?
Oh,
It's our last game of the year.
I know. I'm going to say 34-31, and I think it's going to be the Bucks.
A lot of people are picking the Bucks. A lot of people are picking the Bucks. I think the spread's 3.5, Chiefs.
Let me ask you this before you make your pick. How much better was the 49ers defense last year than the Bucks this year?
Significantly.
You think so? I think the Bucks had a pretty damn good defense this year. But I agree that they're much better. The 49ers defense...
I'm worried about Eric Fisher. I'm worried about the offensive line. I think it was JPB who was talking about, like, I don't even know who the hell the offensive tackle was for the Packers last week. Like, they didn't even, like, it, that mattered. The pass rush, and we'll see what happens with Shaq Barrett and JPB, and I think that will. But I still don't think they're what the Niners were throwing out there last year. No.
Yeah. So, but that's I think, to me, that's the big thing. I think Brady's going to do his thing no matter what. I think Mahomes is going to do his thing no matter what. It's just going to be down to the defenses.
Interesting.
Who do you think the MVP is? We got to talk about that.
I'll say I'm picking the Chiefs. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you. I think it's Chiefs 37, Bucks 31. I think MVP is going to be Tyreek Hill.
So I think that the MVP for the Bucks will be Mike Evans, but there's no way they don't give it to Tom Brady. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
Like, they'll give it to Tom Brady, but I think the most valuable player tomorrow is going to be Mike Evans. I don't think that anyone is going to be able to guard Mike Evans tomorrow.
Interesting. Yeah, we shall see. I think it's going to be fun. I think it's going to be close, which is all you can really ask from a Super Bowl. Just fun and exciting. A lot of offense. Who's calling this? Who got the game this year? Is it Romo and Nance?
I don't know. Probably.
I'm curious who gets the Super Bowl this year. Super Bowl 2021. I need to know. CBS. Yeah, so it's Romo and Nance.
Romo's just killing it, huh?
Yeah. Mr. Swartz. Yes.
What is the name of the Bucks cornerback?
Carlton Davis? Killing?
Yeah, that's Carlton Davis is, like, not allowed a single good game from a wide receiver, and he gets to go up against Tyreek Hill. This is going to be a great matchup.
Tyreek Hill made Tre'Davious White look silly last week. Last week. It's just, you can't cover Tyreek Hill. Like, that's not happening. It doesn't matter who you are. You're not covering Tyreek Hill. I don't know. I'm excited to see what this looks like, because I think both are playing their best football in a while. Like I said, with Tampa, has not lost since the Chiefs game. Like, that's their last loss was the Chiefs. And the Chiefs' lone loss in Patrick Mahomes' 17 starts, including the postseason, came against Week 5 against the Raiders. Like, I just – something has to give with these two dominant teams down the stretch, and they're both hot. They're both playing their best football. I don't know.
It is a good matchup. It is a great Super Bowl matchup. It's a great matchup.
Yeah. There you go. We differ on the last one of the year. Mr. Swartz, do you have anything else you would like to plug before we wrap up here today?
Nah, man. Take care of your friends and family, and enjoy the last week of the year that we have football. It's going to be a long off season. I hope everyone is staying safe and healthy, smart, and I'm gonna miss the NFL.
It'll be back before you know it, Mr. Swartz. For that guy in Dallas, Texas at the moment, Mr. Evan Swartz, a 49ers hub, for myself up here in Knoxville, Tennessee, that is all I've got. Evan, thank you as always, my friend, and we'll be back with our final recap next Monday.
Good old Nashville.
Okay.
Take care.
Nicely done, nephew. Chase Thomas Podcast. Hell yeah.
The wait is finally over. Knotfest Roadshow is back. October 13th, Jiffy Lube Live. Featuring Slipknot with Killswitch Engage, Fever 333, and Code Orange. Tickets on sale now at LiveNation.com. Part of the Mattress Warehouse Concert Series.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.